What's up? Welcome back to Beyond the Box Score. I've got another fun episode for you today. We're digging into coverage data. And to me, not much is more fun in football than watching a receiver who can like route up a cornerback and win in one-on-one coverage. You know, it's fun to watch Saquon Barkley leap over defenders. The run game is awesome. It's very important and everything. But man, I love watching receivers run the routes and win. But with defenses only using man coverage 22.6% of the time in 2025, no single defensive unit registering a rate above 30% for the first time in any season that I have that data available, which dates back to 2019. Simply put, if a receiver wants targets, they need to be able to beat zone coverage. And so that's what we're talking about today, which receivers can beat all coverage types. We're going to talk about 12 receivers who can beat any coverage type. And that is, in my opinion, Ja'Marr Chase, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave, Puka Nacua, Nico Collins, Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle. All right, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see here that I've got last year's top 12 fantasy receivers displayed on the screen, and 9 out of those 12 players we're going to talk about today. So there's only 3 who didn't hit the qualifications I was looking for in terms of being able to beat man and zone coverage. They are George Pickens, Devontae Adams, and AJ Brown. And to me, what stands out about those players, you can see here the data on the screen, higher average depths of targets, lower target shares. I think that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to man press coverage dominators who work primarily on the outside. And I think that AJ Brown can be more than that. We've seen AJ Brown be more than that at times in his career. Obviously, Devontae Adams has been too. If betting on one of the two, I would bet on Brown to bounce back this year. Pickens, we've seen him take steps forward, but still at this point, he's mostly doing his work as a man press coverage beater. And so these players can return big time fantasy value for sure, but the way that they score their points is inherently going to be more volatile. So to push up into the elite target share range, receivers really need to be able to present a target, be able to win in all situations, particularly over the middle of the field, be able to define the soft spot against zone coverage. It also helps to be paired with a good play designer. And quarterback play certainly plays a part too. So does offensive line play. I mean, even like the level of threat that the receiver's like skill position teammates presents to a defense, like all of that matters. There's a lot of factors that matter for sure. And we try to cover all of them for you here at Beyond the Box Score. Today, we are focusing specifically on the receivers themselves. Okay, so my methodology for how I got to this list of 12 is, you know, maybe not totally scientific, but what I did was I looked at receptionperception.com charting data from Matt Harmon, the GOAT. Put that up on the screen. Go check that out for sure. Absolutely is worth it. So I looked at reception perception. He has success rates versus press, man, and zone coverage. I also looked at route success rate charting from the Fantasy Points data team. They watch every route. Again, just cannot recommend them enough. Fantasypoints.com or data.fantasypoints.com if you want to look specifically at the data suite and all the cool stuff they've got there. And then I also looked at Fantasy Points per route run versus man and zone coverage. That data is skewed by touchdowns a little bit. I know some people prefer to look at first downs per route run or man or yards per route run against man and zone coverage. I wouldn't have used Fantasy Points per route run. It correlates strongly to future fantasy scoring. Touchdowns are important for sure. So like Devontae Adams, for example, is going to have really high numbers against man and press coverage because a lot of those opportunities come in the red zone. And then he comes down with a touchdown on some of those opportunities because, you know what? It's important to beat press coverage and be an easy button for your quarterback and score touchdowns. So I did go with Fantasy Points per route run. And I created another one of my patented blinding Excel sheets for you here. So I'll leave this up on the screen. And then I'll alternate back and forth between this and these player profiles as we dig into all this. So go ahead and give this a look. If you're watching on YouTube, it's Fantasy Points per route run on the left side, and then the FP data team's separation scores there in the middle in red, and then reception perceptions success rates on the right. And so the rates that you see in terms of reception perception that are bold and italicized are 2024 charting data. So Matt hasn't put out his profile for every single receiver yet. So there's a few of these. I placed the receivers into tiers. We'll get into that. There's a few of them who I'm reserving the placement on which tier they'll be in based off of the charting data for 2025. Need to hear from our guy Matt here for sure, because honestly, that's probably where I place the most weight here. He's been doing this for a long, long time. And I definitely think that it's really valuable. He's got a great track record with it. Whereas like the fantasy points per route run data, I like that because I was able to pull multiple seasons worth of data, which I'm not able to do with separation score and success rates from RP. But that data is inherently going to be skewed by a number of things. It's descriptive data. It describes what happened during those seasons, which is influenced by quarterback play, which is influenced by the scheme that the team is running. If the team is running, and we can get way into the weeds of this. I did a whole episode on this. It was like, I think almost 2 hours long with Ben Gretsch and Jacob Sanderson, where we talk about all of the things that influence per round data. So I think that it's interesting, and there's a reason I included it over here. And I use it as a way to check in on some of these to see how the players were actually producing, because I love Matt to death. Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's one person. I'm sure he does his absolute best to remove biases. He's been doing this for a long time, but it's good to have all these multiple checks here, I think. And so doing this, I was able to look at this and kind of just come up with a list and eliminate players who maybe weren't quite clearing the bar. I was essentially looking for about 80th percentile or 75th percentile-ish, somewhere in that range or better for all these players across the board, man zone and press coverage. And these were the 12 receivers who popped up. Okay, let's dig in. Ja'Marr Chase. We've got our first tier here, which is the elite tier, the studs, the absolute best of the best. And it's Ja'Marr Chase, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and CeeDee Lamb. Jefferson definitely feels like he belongs in this tier. Him and Lamb are basically neck and neck. I need the charting data on those two. I don't have it yet for Lamb or Jefferson from reception perception for 2025. I did give Lamb the edge here because he had a better year. And honestly, if you look at the reception perception charting data between the two of them, it's really similar. I know Jefferson is the guy who is obviously like kind of just defaulted as like in that conversation with Ja'Marr Chase at the very top. Lamb's reception perception data suggests he belongs in that range as well. So I've got it up here on the screen, sorted by success rates versus man coverage, and CeeDee Lamb's 2024 mark is not only higher than Justin Jefferson's, but it's higher than any of the rates that I have here from any of these players, 24 or 25. And then here is success rates versus zone coverage. Jefferson has the highest rate. This is 2024. And Lamb is right behind him with the second highest rate. Again, 2024 data. Press coverage rate, Jefferson gets the edge. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Lamb is still comfortably in this elite tier. So Jefferson has the highest rate, just ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. Lamb has the fifth highest rate behind Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Josh Downs, Nico Collins. Josh Downs, we'll spend more time with him. I'm extremely excited, intrigued to see how this season is going to play out, because I think it's just almost impossible to quantify the role that he's been in and how it might translate to the role that he is potentially going to play here. Nate Tice has a super smart guy, has talked a lot about how he thinks that the specific types of formations that Shane Steichen uses can benefit Josh Downs a lot and be able to get him on the field in two receiver sets in ways that aren't, you know, the traditional just line up and beat a guy in isolation way that you might expect from a two receiver set with some of these more condensed formations and stuff with two tight ends on the field. So I think there's plenty of reasons to believe that Downs can still win. Steichen has been extremely effective at role catering and finding specific ways to set up his players to be successful in the most advantageous ways, like based off of their skills. So I do just want to point out though, like when you see him pop up this high, where it's like, oh yeah, third highest success rate versus press coverage. One, this sample size is smaller because he hasn't faced press coverage as much because he's primarily working in the slot. And Steichen is trying to specifically avoid press coverage, do things to get him easier looks. And two, it's not coming against the number one corner almost ever. With all that said, we'll spend time with Downs. He's the man. He's very, very good at press coverage. He has all of the tools necessary to be press coverage, especially against, you know, secondary defenders. As far as Land, though, he comes in fifth in press coverage success rate. I mean, we've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba's 2025 data right here. It's a shade below CeeDee Lamb's 2024 data in terms of press coverage success rate. Like, that, he's really, really that good. And then with George Pickens being added to the equation, that frees Lamb up to move around the formation more and not even have to spend as much time going against press coverage. The Fantasy Points data team, in terms of their charting for 2025, I do think tells a pretty encouraging story for Lamb, especially considering that he was, it was kind of a down year and he was dealing with a high ankle sprain throughout the season. They still charted him as one of the, you know, the best of the best against man coverage. They've got him at wide receiver 11 out of 109 qualified receivers. The only receivers from this group who had a better man coverage success rate or separation score, were Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Zay Flowers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chris Olave, and Ja'Marr Chase. And then you find Lamb. So ahead of Puka Nacua, Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson. I think he belongs in this tier. The episode that I just did recently, I'll point you to, there was some really interesting data in reference to CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. And I think that we're so spoiled this year for fantasy purposes at the top of the draft. Like, we're not far removed from CeeDee Lamb basically being a 101 type of pick. Same thing with Justin Jefferson. And here's the episode I'm talking about: pressure makes diamonds, the best worst quarterback versus pressure and how it impacts fantasy football. Dak absolutely shredded against the blitz and against pressure, and Brian Schottenheimer doing an awesome job there. And Lamb had some crazy, crazy splits that are definitely worth digging into if you're thinking about the Dallas receivers for drafts this year. What I was just saying in reference to the top of the draft is, like, you can get CeeDee Lamb at 7th, 9th. You can get him at the back end around 1 sometimes, which is absolutely insane. We have like 3 or 4 legitimate easy button 101 type picks in this draft. You can get those guys at picks 3 or 4. It's just really a wild season. I think it's a great year to be picking a little bit later. And I also personally feel a little bit less inclined to take risks, I think, in round 1, whether that's, you know, Ashton Jeudy or any of these players that I'm excited about, but don't really know what to expect. I feel pretty good about what we've got here. I feel really good about Lamb bouncing back in a huge way this year. It's just one of the best in terms of beating all different coverage types. And I think an important note to make with today's discussion is that this is only a part of the equation. Like, I told you earlier, there's all these components that make up getting targets and beating coverage and getting targets. And then still beating coverage and getting targets is just one component of scoring fantasy points as a wide receiver, right? Puka Nacua isn't going to, you know, be at the top of these charting numbers. You see, he's not in this elite tier of coverage beaters, and it doesn't matter at all because he's playing in an awesome offense because he's freaking awesome with the ball in his hands. And then last year he took a major step forward at winning in contested catch situations, going and getting the ball too. There's certain players like that. You can take that all the way down the line from Puka down to Luther Burden to Parker Washington, whatever. Like, there's a lot of players. It's a lot of different ways to win a receiver, obviously. So today's discussion, I think, is important, but is also almost more of a descriptive flavor type of way to look at wide receiver in terms of like tiering them out and who are the best coverage beaters. All that is to say that Lamb is awesome with the ball in his hands. The yak wasn't quite as good last year because, again, he was playing with a freaking high ankle sprain, and that's brutal. But he's been one of the best receivers with the ball in his hands since he's gotten into the league. And he plays with a quarterback who knows him very well and knows how to throw the ball with anticipation. And he plays with a play designer who knows how to create space. And he also plays alongside George Pickens, so defenses can't focus on him in the way that they have in the past. And the run game works really well now. So, yeah, I absolutely think Lamb could deliver one of these types of seasons. I haven't settled on like him versus Amon-Ra St. Brown, him versus Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think it's a lot closer than people would expect, basically, is my stance on that. All right, I'm going to take a break real quick and then get back and dig into Ja'Marr Chase, Jason, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then we will move on down the board, look at the rest of the rankings here.
This is European soccer's biggest stage.
Written in the stars! What a difference she has made!
The question is, can you handle it?
Can you handle it?
The crowd here feels electric.
Stream every match of the UEFA Women's Champions League on Paramount Plus.
All right, Ja'Marr Chase, what more is there really to say? This dude is obviously awesome with the ball in his hands as well. Numbers came down a little bit last year, but to me, I'm more encouraged by the fact that you see his target per route run rate of a 29.4%. It was 25, 24, 26, 22% in the 4 years before that. So kind of like Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, we're seeing Ja'Marr early in his career just be so dynamic that he creates insane efficiency even without these massive target rates. But as he gets into his prime, which is insane to say that he's not been in his prime, but that's, I mean, most of the time primes arrive around the age 26, 27 years old. And what is Ja'Marr, 25 or something, 26? Yeah, he's 26. So he's like just getting to his prime. And look at this, we're seeing, you know, slot rate is going up, pre-snap motion is going up, play designers finding creative ways to use him, target share is spiking up to 30%. And so, yeah, I think he absolutely could deliver a massive bounce back this year. I don't know exactly who is the best pick between him and Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, whoever you might be thinking about. To me, it's Chase or Nacua. But at the same time, like, Puka Nacua is totally busted. Like, he's just completely broken, just absolutely absurd. We've never really had anything like him. These are just two of the best fantasy scorers ever to start a career at the wide receiver position. Here's the data I've got. Over the past two seasons, Ja'Marr has barely edged out Puka Nacua's wide receiver one in fantasy points per game. That's with Ja'Marr running 41 routes per game and Puka running 27 routes per game. Like, that's what it is with Puka. It's just silly. He has a 61% route share over the past 2 years, whether that's due to injuries or kind of the weird big formations and stuff that the Rams were doing at times last year. What if it moves up? Like, what if he plays 75, 80% of the routes? I don't think anything's going to change significantly with Puka's role because it's working. They've got options, they've got plenty of tight ends, they just drafted another one. The defense is freaking awesome, could easily be the best defense in the league, so I don't know if they're going to need to even throw more than 30 times a game. But yeah, we do know, I mean, if you just look at like fantasy, let me show you the word again. If you look at the fantasy points per outrun numbers, it's Puka, and it's not even close, not even remotely close. 0.84 fantasy points per outrun versus man coverage over the past two seasons. 0.74 versus zone. That's so silly. Ja'Marr is next at 0.55. Yeah, so either one of them is a good pick. I hope that they stay healthy and put up points for you. Like, you can't go wrong, really, in my opinion. Jackson Smith and Jigba is an interesting one for sure. Different set of circumstances here. Going into his fourth season. I think Rashid Shaheed will probably be a bigger part of the offense. Torrey Horn potentially coming back. And then obviously no Clint Kubiak. The defense projects to be really, really good again. They did lose a few pieces, so maybe not quite as good as last year, but I think that they'll still be really strong. So it's set up to be pretty similar to last year. There could be regression from Sam Darnold because he was money on deep balls last year. Defenses, I guess, in theory, could be more prepared for it. And over the second half of the year, defenses did things specifically to get the ball out of Jason's hands. So I get it. If you want to expect JSN to kind of regress a little bit from last year's insane efficiency, but at the same time, it was insane and it's backed by all the charting. So he's wide receiver one in fantasy points data's separation score versus man coverage last year. He's wide receiver two in separation score versus zone coverage, higher than anybody else we're going to talk about today. And then I think maybe Devontae, I'm trying to remember who was in the number one. It might have been Devontae Adams, which is a little bit different than some of Matt's charting and stuff. If you look at Matt's charting, reception perception, Jason comes in third in success rate versus man. He has the highest rate of anybody that he's charted this year so far. So CeeDee Lamb and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith are the only two ahead of him, and that's 2025 or 2024 data. I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae Smith's data is worse last year. I'm really curious to see. Last year's offense was so bad that I'm really curious if Matt is able to isolate it at all with the players, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I know that his charting really did not like what we got on film from A.J. Brown last year, which is why AJB is not in today's conversation. I think that's totally fair. I do think it improved as the year went on. So there's some health related things that happened with AJB last year for sure. I'm tentatively in on AJB, but he's not in today's conversation for that reason. Success rate versus zone coverage, a little bit lower with JSN, but still well above the threshold that I was looking for these players. I think that this can continue to improve. I mean, that's the thing with JSN is like these rates are pretty nuts for a year three receiver. The guys that he's contending with across the board are mostly like the best receivers in the league and are well into their career. And then he comes in wide receiver five versus press coverage as well. So really, really good stuff for sure. Almost no target competition, I would expect. Basically the same thing from JSN this year. Let's talk about the Sun God, because his dad is pretty crazy, of course. What's really interesting to me is both fantasy points data and the actual production data suggests that he's actually been better against man coverage. So they have him as wide receiver five out of 109 qualified receivers in separation score versus man, behind only JSN and Zay Flowers from today's top 12 that we're going to talk about. And his fantasy points per route run versus man is nearly as high as Puka's, 0.74 above JSN over the past two seasons. Whereas Matt actually has his man coverage as the lowest among, you know, relative to his zone and press coverage success rates, the lowest percentile score. And that's been, I think, pretty typical for how he grades Sun God. He's, you know, coming in, this was like the initial, as far as I remember, the initial big hit for Matt is like, this guy was kind of misused in college. I think he would be better as a big slot because he's fantastic against zone. He's physical at the catch point and after the catch and everything, but he's not a great man separator. But Matt has definitely noted that it keeps getting better. He really likes what he's seen from Sun God there. He keeps getting better at beating man coverage. And again, like I said at the top, man coverage is just kind of dying in the league. Like it's still used sometimes in condensed fields, like near the end zone, third downs, some important situations like that. Teams man up. Some teams man up more often in other situations too, but not a single team had a man coverage press rate above 30% last year, according to True Media. So at the end of the day, what's most important? Beating zone coverage and being a dog with the ball in your hands. And honestly, St. Brown is just, he's right up there with Puka Nacua, is like the absolute best of this archetype. And as far as why he Why he came in here ahead of Puka is because his press coverage was notably better than Puka's, and then his zone coverage rate is right behind him. But really, him and Puka are almost identical. So Puka probably belongs in this tier, to be honest. I just kind of said, like, put him in a tier of his own because he's such a unique receiver. Yeah, he's insane. Okay, I want to talk about these two. So these are wide receivers who, you know, can beat any coverage type, but last year was weird. And I want to see more charting data. I think you could throw Devontae Smith in this tier as well. The other two are Justin Jefferson and Chris Olave. So Jefferson, who is obviously weird in a bad way, Olave, it was weird in a good way, where we really saw him just go nuts. Like, I was very bullish on Olave last year. I thought he was a fantastic value. I've always loved the talent. But it was weird for a number of reasons. I would again point towards that episode that I just put out in terms of pressure, because there's some interesting notes on Tyler Shuck in there. And we've got a 30-minute profile out on Shuck. He's just kind of a weirdo. You know, we don't know what to expect. He's an old quarterback. At times looked really good last year, but it was against a really easy schedule. Kellen Moore is awesome, but even Kellen Moore is kind of strange in the way that he does things, a little bit different, plays with pace. The Saints, another weird thing, the Saints were playing from behind last year on a higher percentage of their plays than like any team over the past 5 or 10 seasons. I don't remember exactly what the dates were, but higher than any team, even like the Browns last year or the Jets or any bad team over the past like 5 or 10 years, the Saints were just always playing from behind. And so that obviously leads to more passing. So yeah, a number of things coming in here. I mean, Olave had never had more than 87 catches or 138 targets in a season. Last year, he has 100 catches and 156 targets. Target share spikes to 28%. Target per route run rate is up. And then you see like the first down per route run rate and the yard per route run rate are both down, which is just kind of weird. He's always been a hyper-efficient player, especially on a per-route basis. This is, again, like why I brought up that Ben Gretsch and Jacob Sanderson conversation is per-route data really is impacted by a number of things. And so earlier in his career, he's playing, you know, with Clint Kubiak. You know, he's playing in these bigger personnel packages with fewer receivers on the field, et cetera. There's a lot of things coming into play here. Last year, it was just very clear that it was like all going to him. So defenses were very focused on that. Quarterback play was all right. Maybe this is odd. People are pretty high on Shuck. I don't think it was as good as Carr was slinging it at times early in Olave's career, where we see him up at 2.4 in terms of yards per run. But, you know, it doesn't even matter that the efficiency is down, really, because he has 9 touchdowns, which is also way out of the ordinary for him. He had 10 touchdowns across his first 3 seasons. So what do we make of Chris Olave? Well, in terms of the data that I've collected here, he's every bit as good as we think he is. And again, this is 2024 data. So I'm very excited to see the 2025 data, because I think there's a chance that just in terms of beating coverage and separating, Olave could have vaulted into that elite tier that we just talked about. I think there's a chance in terms of the refinement and the route running, the tempoing and everything that he does, that he's somewhere in the same vicinity as Jackson Smith and Jigba, which is a crazy thing to say, but it was really an impressive season last year. So I'm really excited to hear what Matt has to say. He was just money on those out routes. Like, he was creating separation down the field. In terms of the 2024 data, which is not his best season, here's where Olave stacks up. He just barely hit the elite threshold for success rate versus man coverage. So that puts him above Puka Nacua and Drake London and Jaylen Waddle and Zay Flowers and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Versus zone coverage, it's not quite as good, but it's still plenty good. I mean, his rate is just below Jackson Smith and Jigba's rate from last year. It's just above Nico Collins' rate from 2024, which is a better year for Nico than last year, I think. It's well above Devontae Smith's rate from 2024. It's a really good rate. I mean, I think he's fully capable of being a win all the time, wide receiver one, get a ton of targets. We just saw it. I think we could see it again this year in a better offense. And then press coverage, success rate, not great, but I think this is an area where Kellen Moore is really, really good at moving his receivers around before the snap, at the snap, finding ways to get them free releases. So I think, you know, adding some receivers to the offense could be a good thing, and we could see Olave moved around even more this year. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to. Another year for Olave in this offense with Kellen Moore, with Tyler Shuck, could be even better than it was last year. All right, I'm going to take a second break here. We're going to get right back. We're going to talk about Justin Jefferson.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
I now know why Monty was so stressed.
What's the plan here?
Landman, new season now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Jettis, where are we at with Justin Jefferson? Here's his 2024 data, and it's insane, as I already showed you. Best press coverage success rate among all these guys. What's Fantasy Points data say? They didn't love it, and it's a little bit concerning. So I'm curious to see what Matt says. It would be extremely weird if Jefferson had taken a step back at this point in his career. It's possible that last year was just such a mess that, you know, I don't know where he's at with his health. I don't know exactly where he's at with all of it, you know, but it was clearly not working. And there were times where he was open and he just wasn't getting the ball. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm very curious to hear what Matt has to say. FP data has him above Josh Downs, Devonta Smith, and Drake London, but below everybody else in terms of the guys that I looked at in Fantasy Points data's separation score versus man coverage. Versus zone coverage, they have Jefferson right in the middle of these guys, below Devonta Smith last year, below Jalen Waddle, below Zay Flowers, below Josh Downs, but still in a good range, above Drake London, above Nico Collins, Jamar Chase. So that, you know, we know who Jefferson is. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to probably bounce back in a huge way. I think that the pairing with Kyler could be good. It bothers me a little bit that his per route data versus man coverage and press coverage is not as good over the last couple of years. But at the same time, like, the quarterback play has been less than ideal for sure during a big portion of that. But still, like, it's just not where you want to see it. The rate versus zone coverage is still good. Over the past two seasons only, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and Puka Nacua have a higher fantasy point per route run rate versus zone than Jefferson. But versus man coverage, weirdly low, right? I mean, it's lower than all these guys except for Jalen Waddle. And again, those two obviously impacted by their team environment. And, you know, man coverage is a smallish sample size. But this guy was pretty nuts against man coverage early in his career. I mean, here's the data versus man coverage. Early on, you got a 31% target rate and a 4 yard per out run rate. Year two, 32% target rate, 3.4 yards per out run. It's above three each of the first four seasons of his career. And in the past two seasons, the targets are down a little bit. The yards are down a little bit against man coverage. I don't really know. I'm hoping for, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll get a big bounce back from Jefferson. I definitely think he belongs in this conversation, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Matt. I hope that he's charted him by the time that we talk about Jefferson next week. Matt's coming on Beyond the Box Score to talk about the receiver position. So I'll update y'all. We're going to spend time with Jefferson because I haven't figured out exactly where I want him to be ranked this year. Okay. Two more guys in the tier of their own here. To me, this is like tier two among the guys I looked at. They're nearing the elite tier of route winning. And Nico Collins, I think, is clearly the better overall player here. He's 6'4", 222, and Zay Flowers is 5'9", 185. Nico's insane with the ball in his hands. He can win at the catch point. He can create huge, long touchdown plays on his own. And he's a good route winner. I will say that last year was a bit of a dip for Nico. It's borne out in the per route data here for sure. You can see that on the screen. His yard per route run rate has dropped in each of the past two seasons, from 23 to 24 to 25. That has something to do with quarterback play, I would say, and everything that's going on there with the offensive line could bounce back. But at the same time, I also think his film just wasn't quite as good last year. I'm curious where Matt will come out on that. That's how I felt when watching Nico. Fantasy points data tends to agree. Generally, it looks like they've got him right in the middle of the pack against both man coverage and zone coverage, middle of the pack among these elite players. So still, yeah, one of the absolute best separators in the league. We've seen him be, I mean, right up there with George Pickens as like the best versus press coverage. It's them. It's AJ Brown. It's, you know, Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Like, he's in that conversation in terms of like, you can't leave him on an island. That's just a terrifying task for a cornerback. So I think that, he's still young and could definitely get back to what we've seen from him in the past, but he's also had a lot of hamstring injuries and stuff. So I'm keeping an eye on this and seeing how Nico continues to develop, because he has more target competition now, I think, than he ever has. So, and I think they're going to be really run heavy this year. Zay Flowers has seen no such dip. His numbers continue to get better year over year. I'm really coming around on Zay. I've always been, you know, Zay is underrated, but it was kind of more in along the lines of like how I felt about Olave last year, except he played a better offense. But where it's like, people don't realize how good this guy is. The target rates are fantastic. The per route data is great. I think he's just going to keep getting better. I know he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he's a good pick. And now I'm kind of, Heath Cummings has kind of gotten me thinking that we could get some touchdowns here. I've dug into it a little bit more. And it's like, okay, yeah, I can see it. And even Matt Harmon is kind of coming around on it. So let's talk about the reception charting on Zay Flowers, because Matt loved what he saw. And that's awesome, because it's not just him. Fantasy points data has a really, really high in terms of separation score. Yeah, only a better separation score versus man coverage than Zay Flowers. And versus zone coverage, he was fifth in the league. Behind, and among these guys, he was behind JSN, Pukunuku, and Josh Downs, according to FP Data's separation score metric. And then if you look at... I just messed up. If you look at reception, Zay Flowers, where are you? So he doesn't have him quite as high against man coverage, but still, I think this group is interesting. This group of Waddle, Flowers, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, where Matt has them graded with Flowers and Amon-Ra St. Brown graded very high against zone coverage, and then has them graded, I think, just high enough against man and press coverage to where it's like, I think that they can be wide receiver ones all the time. Sun God obviously can. We've seen that where it's come through in a huge way. His press coverage grade is substantially higher than Waddle and Flowers. So it's more of like a stylistic comparison with Waddle and Flowers to Sun God, where it's like, I think even though they're a little bit on the small side, they don't win in exactly the same ways as Amon-Ra St. Brown, where he's more of a physical, powerful type of player. Who wins with balance and spacing and everything, and they win more with speed and elusiveness and stuff like that, quick area twitch type stuff. Effectively, the result is wins over the middle of the field, wins in the intermediate area, wins on outbreaking routes, wins on getting separation, getting the ball in their hands, and then being able to create after the catch. And so it's not that big of a deal that they're not necessarily stacking press coverage over and over and beating them down the field. I think Waddle can do some of that for sure. But if you look at like the, you know, press and man success rates here, according to Matt, both Waddle and Flowers come in a good range, like good enough to be on this list, but just barely. They did edge out Ladd McConkey and Drake London, who we're going to talk about as like the honorable mention players. But they're not up in that elite tier. Versus zone coverage, though, Flowers is in that elite tier. He's above Waddle substantially, and he actually has one of the highest grades that Matt has given anybody over the past two seasons. So last year's grades for Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are higher And then he finds Zay Flowers ahead of Jamar Chase's grade from last year. So that's really, really high praise. And if you read Matt's profile on Zay Flowers, you'll be very excited. He thinks that Flowers can potentially win in some of the short area ways that could allow him to be a good red zone threat, which we haven't really seen yet. But we got a new play caller coming in and maybe a totally new style of offense. And I think Flowers could have a huge year for. Let me show you this. I made some crazy comparisons on Zay Flowers recently. On Pure Potential is a Dynasty, I think, centered podcast that I went on, and I gave my favorite Dynasty buys here, and I compared Zay Flowers to Antonio Brown. So go check that out. It's interesting. It's probably not right, but it's interesting. Let's talk about Josh Downs, because any of you who are not regular Beyond the Box Scores listeners have probably been wondering for 40 minutes now. Let's be honest, you left a long time ago. You're probably wondering when you turned on the video and we're here for 3 minutes, why the hell is Josh Downs on this list? The guy had 566 yards last year, which is fair, I guess. He was dealing with an injury last year. I think that clearly affected his stats in a meaningful way. Matt felt the same way when he did his charting of Josh Downs, but still our king, Josh Downs, comes in here with some great rates. So he's just above Jalen Waddle in zone coverage success rate. And then Matt loves. That's the second lowest among these guys, this group of 12 against zone. But Matt loves his work versus press and man coverage. He even did throw out some situational type of comparisons, not necessarily as players, to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, where it's like this guy's been pigeonholed to the slot, but I thought all along the way that he can be someone who beats any type of coverage and is a bigger part of the offense than just that. So it's going to be really interesting. I do think it's relevant with Downs that he has been in this very specific role where he's hyper targeted on third downs, where you're facing a lot more man and press coverage. And then you're getting a lot more space on some of these designs with Shane Steichen, where he just has to get quick wins to get the ball in his hands because they only need 3 or 4 yards or whatever. So I don't exactly know if we can just extrapolate this stuff to, you know, next year in a bigger role, but everything here, this methodology sure points towards him being one of these 12 players, and all these other players other than Waddle and Devonta Smith have been like wildly productive players. You know, Drake London, it's kind of come along more recently, but most of these guys have just been the freaking best of the best, you know? And so maybe this is the next Chris Olave or London or whatever, or JSN or whatever, where it's like, we know how good he can be. All the fantasy nerds and everything have been saying it for a long time. And it's not just the fantasy nerds, okay? I listen to lots of real football podcasts, and they're saying the same thing, that Josh Downs is a really, really popular sleeper pick for this year to break out. He's good, man. He's really good. I'm really excited to see him with more opportunity, and I'd love to put him on this list. And all the data checks out. The fantasy points per outrun, even with him playing through injuries, the separation scores from fantasy points, it's all good. Devonta Smith. Let's talk about Devonta Smith. I'm hoping to get a profile up on him for you early next week. I would love it if we got a reception perception drop before then, because this 2024 data is crazy. Second highest success rate here against man coverage out of all these players. Higher than JSN's rate last year. Higher than Jamar Chase's rate. Do you remember Jamar Chase's 2024 season? Justin Jefferson in 2024 had a lower rate than Devonta Smith did in 2024. And to be fair, like, he's not facing the number one cornerback like most of these guys, right? He's playing alongside AJ Brown. He's often playing the slot. In 2024, he was playing with Kellen Moore, so he's kind of in that, you know, Olave type of a role. Not exactly the same, but he definitely benefits from the play designer there. Last year was much worse. But dang, that's a crazy high rate. His zone coverage rate is good. Almost identical to Drake London's rate from 2024, just below Nico Collins and Chris Olave from 2024. Above Josh Downs and Jalen Waddle from 2025. And then press coverage, he's got the goods. Yeah, comfortably in the elite tier here. Identical rate to 2025 Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So what we're hearing out of the Eagles organization is that they think that he can be this year's Jaxon Smith-Njigba, can be unlocked in this way. I'm gonna give you my thoughts in more complete fashion, get you a player profile out on him soon, dig into the collegiate data, comparisons, historical data as well, because he's one of the more interesting players in fantasy. All right, let's wrap up here with Jalen Waddle. Waddle is the last one on this list for a reason. He's just barely cracking these. He doesn't, none of his rates were quite at the like elite threshold here, but they were good enough. And then the fantasy points data charting is good too. They had him at wide receiver 7 versus zone, which is fantastic. At times felt like there's like a bit of refinement lacking to his game. Like at times when I've been maybe a little more frustrated, I've even said, I don't really feel like Waddle has gotten that much better across his first few seasons in the league. And that's because he didn't really need to. He was so good coming in. He was one of the most efficient collegiate receivers that we've really ever seen during the time that I have like yard per out run data available. And then he came in and lit it up right away. And just with the raw speed, Waddle and the movement skills, like Waddle is able to get open and create. Last year, I felt like he took a step forward, right? You might, if you were following along during the season, you might remember me clipping and tweeting routes where it's like, he's winning against cornerbacks, like cornerback ones. He's routing them up. And if he can do this, if he can add more of the tempoing to his routes or the refinement to the precision with his cuts and everything, you can't keep up with this guy. You just can't. It's like a juiced up version of Zay Flowers. Like he's really pretty nutty. And so I'm coming around on what it could be in Denver. And so, yeah, I think the success rate versus zone says something. And Matt liked his work versus zone too, thought he took a big step forward there. The reception perception profile is really bullish on Waddle. So yeah, among these players, this success rate versus zone puts him ahead of Devontae Smith, ahead of Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Jamar Chase. It's a really, really good, result. And then his man coverage result is good too. And then if you look at just the raw production data, I think it flew under the radar because the Dolphins were, I mean, they were terrible. I think they were last or second to last in offensive plays and pass attempts. And so, you know, if you're just not passing the ball very much, then it's tough for receivers per opportunity metrics to really matter. But on a per opportunity basis, absolutely crazy stuff from Waddle last year. So here's a Waddle tweet for you. He was one of 8 receivers to hit the following thresholds last year: yards per out run above 2 with a route win rate above 15%. That's for the Fantasy Points data suite. You see Zay Flowers, you see a lot of the guys we talked about today. Here's Waddle, 2.4 yards per out run. That's massive. That's just below George Pickens, but Pickens probably ran like 200 more routes than him or whatever, you know, like really, really good stuff from Waddle. So I do think he belongs in this conversation. He's right smack dab in his prime, and he hasn't given us a season with more than 200 PPR points and, you know, since 2022. So I think he's going to be a discount because of that. But on a per opportunity basis, he's been very good. He had 1 year that was awful last year where the Dolphins were just an albatross. The offense was gimmicky as hell. Like, it was just screens to the like, so many of these routes, it's just a screen to Jonnu Smith or a screen to Devon Achane or whatever. Like, of course he's not getting targeted or producing yards, but every year other than that, the dude's been really, really good. I mean, we've seen him push his yard per run up into the 2.6 range multiple times. So yeah, I'm very excited. I thought that he looked the best on film that he ever has. That's it. That's 12 receivers who can be any coverage type. And I really do think that any of them could push up into a 25%+ target share, which is freaking crazy to say about Josh Downs. But I do think it's a possibility. And I think some of them, yeah, I mean, they could push even higher than that. And if Waddle gets up into the 25% target share, he's going nuts. Like, if some of these guys get up into that range, they're going nuts, you know? Like, we just haven't seen them even need to do that because they're playing alongside stud receivers, and so they're just kind of the secondary pieces. But this feels like a really good year for these guys. Okay, the two honorable mentions, and then I do have a third that I want to talk about in reference to Drake London. Two honorable mentions are Ladd McConkey and Drake London. So I thought they were close enough when I did the preliminary, like, piling up of these, which started with reception perception. But the fantasy points data team didn't agree. And obviously the fantasy points per route run numbers are freaking awful for McConkey after what happened last year. But I've teased this. I've talked about this on a few episodes with McConkey, just like how insane the reception perception results are. So I just wanted to illustrate it for you here. Here he is, in terms of success rate versus man coverage. Just below Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Nico Collins, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Devontae Smith and CeeDee Lamb. Above Chris Olave from 2024. So maybe not this current version of Chris Olave, but above Josh Downs, above Puka Nacua. Really, really elite stuff. I believe McConkey historically was like 87th or 88th percentile or better in all three, man and zone and press coverage, according to Harman's charting. And that's like throughout his entire database. His zone coverage success rate was 84%, which is only below Jamar Chase, Say Flowers, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson. I mean, it's like above Puka Nacua and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know if it was last year Amon-Ra St. Brown, but 2024 Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's above JSN. It's above like Rashi Rice, who is obviously an insane zone beater. That's just super, super high. And he just wasn't, like, his data versus zone, his actual production is terrible because the offense was annoying. Like, it was going to Keenan Allen so often versus zone coverage. And then also, like, with all the blitzing that was happening and then the just terrorizing of Justin Herbert, like, they're just getting the ball out quick against these zone looks. And Herbert is great at, like, recognizing pre and post snap what might be there and then confirming what is there and then just getting that ball out if he can, you know, just like, he didn't really have time for this to even matter that McConkey had such a high success rate. But I do think that's why Matt's reception perception work is valuable, because it's somebody trying to isolate what the receiver actually did on their own, which I, you know, I love that. Here he is versus press coverage, 79.5% success rate. Jackson Smith and Jigba's rate last year was 80%. I mean, yeah, I think McConkey's going to go nuts this year as long as he's healthy, as long as the line doesn't completely fall apart again. I feel really, really good about his fit with Mike McDaniel. I'm really excited to talk with Ryan Heath and Matt Harmon about him next week. Okay, Drake London. I wanted to highlight London. So London, like Waddle, had good, not great reception perception data where he doesn't quite hit that elite tier in any of them, but it was really good. His FP data separation scores weren't as good, but weren't bad necessarily. His man separation score was weirdly low, but I'm taking that with a grain of salt. Like, we know that he can beat man coverage. We've seen it throughout his career. What I will say here, though, why I want to talk about London is because I want to talk about Tedrick McMillan. And basically, it's like there's a group of players. There's an archetype, I would say, of receivers who are bigger bodied guys. And like I've said earlier, like separation is only part of what they do. And so I don't want to, you know, view London the same way as Ladd McConkey, who's 6 foot, 185 pounds. Maybe that's not the best example because McConkey's actually really good after the catch. But London is one of the best receivers of the league at the catch point. He's an absolute freaking monolith. He's so big. Like just throw him the ball and he's going to get it. There's a reason that he has such high target shares, like highest target per route run rate of any player during the time that I have that data available in a single season at USC in college, like highest among any prospect, 3 seasons with a target per route run rate above 28%. He's a massive, reliable target. So like the fact that he's not, you know, out here ratting people up at this crazy, crazy prolific rate, I don't think that's super relevant. In fact, I think the fact that he has high enough rates to even be an honorable mention for this conversation is really meaningful because there's no T. Higgins in this conversation, right? Like that archetype of receiver can be really productive, even though they just can't possibly move their bodies in the way that some of these smaller guys can and win routes in the way that some of these guys can. That's why freaking Puka Nacua, it's so insane that he's, you know, pushing up into the elite ranges on these because he's nearly as big as those guys and he's so good with the ball in his hands. And so you just get this crazy, crazy out of control production. So I wanted to talk about London. I want to talk about Tedrick McMillan because McMillan's rates don't look as good as I would have expected when I dug into his data on reception perception. But Matt has a really cool tool where you can, it's like a player comparison tool, and you can look at historical comparisons for these guys, other people in his database who he's charted who looked similar in terms of their man press zone, even their specific route type success rates, and then their size and everything as well. And the guys who come up are like T. Higgins, Allen Robinson, like lots of really good players. And his rates are like right there with them, you know, Tedrick McMillan as a rookie. So to me, that's really impressive. And I just think that's important framing for this conversation. Maybe it would have been better to lead with this than have it at the end of the show. But it definitely is important. Like AJ Green is a guy who comes to mind for me when I was looking at some of these bigger receivers. And I think occasionally might pop up as a similar player for them where it's like he was really, really productive, but it wasn't like he was some crazy get open all the time route winner, you know, like that. There's plenty of examples of guys like that. The other like honorable mention, like they're really not quite close to being in this conversation, but I wanted to mention them as the reason they're not in the conversation is because their zone coverage rates preclude them from being in the conversation, but they're elite or near elite versus man and press coverage. And so that archetype, I already mentioned T. Higgins, I would say at the top is George Pickens, and then probably T. And then according to Matt's charting, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze. And he actually really still liked the Odunze 2025 film, which I think is really interesting. So like Odunze's rates put him in a really similar range to George Pickens. Let me confirm this real quick. Odunze, yes. Odunze, Matt had graded with a higher, and take this with a grain of salt because it's a sort of small sample size, 92 routes versus man coverage, like way more routes for George Pickens, double the amount of routes versus man coverage. But a 76% success rate versus man coverage for Odunze compared to 75.8% for Pickens. So that's the third highest behind Olden McConkey and Jason among the guys that Matt's charted thus far, which is a bunch of players. He's charted, you know, 20, 30 players already. And Odunze's man coverage rate is very, very good. And if you look at press coverage, it's again, one of the absolute best, 80.6%. Let me put the data back up on the screen here. Just so you have an idea of where these would rank, because that's crazy. 80.6%. So I've got it sorted here on the screen by press rate success. Like that's in the same range as CeeDee Lamb, Jaxon Smith, and Jigba Devontae Smith. What was the man coverage rate? 76.1% is in the same range as Justin Jefferson, Ladd McConkey, Chris Olave. I mean, really? That's where Rome Odunze was last year? Like, that's not what I would have guessed. He, at the beginning of the year, was somebody who was getting targeted all over the field all the time. I think that Luther Burden can potentially be this type of a player, too. The charting on Burden is also, like, very small sample size, so, like, take it for what it's worth. But it is pretty bullish on him. Matt liked his work versus man and thought he took a step forward versus zone versus what we saw from him at Mizzou. He only had 11 routes charted versus press coverage, so I don't know if you can make much of that. But yeah, so I wanted to mention this group: Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., Pickens, Ted Earl McMillan, and then like at the very top is Lonnie, but Lonnie's better in zone than these guys. I think McMillan can become that kind of a player versus zone. But Matt didn't love his zone coverage work. He had him just barely below Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. So this might be my own bias, but just watching McMillan, I feel like he has such a good feel for space, and I think that he could continue to get better at the finesse aspects of his game. So yeah, let's talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. real quick, and then we'll get out of here. Marv, he had with a 78.5% success rate versus zone compared to 78.3% for Odunze. So those are good rates, but not quite good enough to get into this group that we talked about today. The cutoff was basically Jalen Waddle-ish, like 81%, was like right at the 75th, 76th percentile, I think, here for historic purposes for Matt. One real quick shout out, Michael Pittman, very close to hitting all three. He had an 81% success rate, 80.5% versus zone coverage, really good press coverage rate, and a good man coverage rate as well. Like he's the Diet Coke version of like this can get open, can be wide receiver one, can beat all coverage types receiver. And nobody talks about it, nobody cares. Shout out Dan Schneier. He cares. All right. Marvin Harrison Jr. though, the man coverage rate was really good. 74.8%. So that's just above Puka Nacua. That's above Jalen Waddle. That's above Zay Flowers, above Ted Earl McMillan. That's a really good rate. Man coverage rate is above Ricky Pearsall, and that's like what Pearsall does is he shreds man and press coverage. Pearsall, you could kind of put into this bucket too, but I didn't because he's not like a bigger body guy like these guys. To me, Pearsall like could just kind of become like a Ladd McConkey or something if he gets better at like Waddle maybe is a better comparison. Like if he gets better at the tempoing of his routes, the timing based stuff, because his movement skills are insane. But yeah, Marv, his man coverage rate is like just below George Pickens. And that's obviously a strength of Pickens. So to me, it's like, in my opinion, Pickens is clearly above Odunze, even though that's not really the way that Matt's charting has it. And then I would have Marv and Odunze below him. Matt has it like Odunze, Pickens, and MHJ. But then Pickens offers way, way, way more after the catch than Odunze. So take this for what it's worth. Like he's obviously the better fantasy player and the better overall player right now. Odunze also struggled with drops last year. Okay, press coverage on Marvin Harrison Jr. We're going to get out of here. 75.4% success rate versus press coverage is not great. That needs to be better. That's just below Michael Pittman. It's just above Zay Flowers. It's above Ted Earl McMillan. And it's below a lot of the guys that we talked about today. Not quite. That's actually not even quite good enough to get him into this group here. So all that he had was the man coverage success rate, but the press coverage isn't far off. Those three receivers I think are really good at what they do. I don't know if they'll ever be entering this conversation, but if they could beat zone coverage, if Marvin Harrison Jr., we saw him in college be a target dominator, if Rome Odunze, if Pickens, if Ted Earl McMillan, if they're able to beat zone coverage more consistently, then watch out because they're massive. And if they get in a good offense, they could have a ton of touchdowns. They could create after the catch some of those guys. Like that's the missing piece of them being like unlocked as a Drake London or whatever, you know. Alrighty. That's our conversation today. I've got to point you to Beyond the Box Score. Thank you so much for being here. To anybody who has stuck around this long, let me show you what we're cooking up here over at BTB. There's lots of good stuff for you to check out after this video. Please do subscribe if you have not. Got this sub count climbing and climbing, getting ready for draft season. Appreciate all of y'all. I want to point you to these videos, these shorter form videos that we've been pumping out here. So I did a bunch of player profiles, and we've got more that we're going to dig into as well. But lately, like this one, I'm kind of experimenting with some specific topics and talking points, like scrambling. I did a live show on Thursday that was the pressure, like how that affects quarterbacks and how it affects target distribution and stuff. So I'm curious how these will land. I think that these are cool and just an interesting way to think about everything that goes into these players and how they get their fantasy points as we approach draft season. So we're ramping up with a lot more stuff that's going to be focused specifically on how to draft and all that. But I do think if you've got the time, you're here in July or whatever, like, or if you find these in August and you want to just binge all these videos, like, I think it's great to be able to take a micro view on some of these players and really zoom in and get to know them and get to know the coaches and all the, again, the components that make up the end result that we get in fantasy. So go check all this out. Like the video if you would. Leave us a comment if you have any feedback, and I'll see you at the next video.